Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Some Tower of Power there coming back from the break. Of course, that is What Is Hip? Basically, if you don't know what hip is, you're not hip. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. We take it across the pond, folks, and bring in Sir Kenneth Rainford. Of course, boxing's greatest diplomat. And if you get on the bad side of him, he'll turn Ernie Chavers against you. And you don't want the heaviest puncher in the history of boxing coming after you. Bottom line is, Kenny, how are you?
I'm good, Pedro. Getting over the flu, but I'm good.
Okay, and Ernie celebrated his 77th birthday this week, didn't he?
August 31st, it was.
Wow. So you still talk to him. I had him on the show a couple of years ago. What's he doing? I mean, what's retired life like for the hardest puncher in the history of boxing?
Well, obviously, up until COVID 2 years ago, he was busy doing after dinner speaking and doing engagement, gym openings, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He was keeping real busy. And then the last 2 years, obviously, you know, there's been nothing coming through. He's living in West Virginia with his daughters, Tamara and Catherine. And he's just taking day by day, you know, just taking it easy. But, he slowed down in the last 2 years because obviously, he's been confined to barracks and, yeah. he's not been busy at all apart from gardening and stuff. But he goes for walks and stuff. He's good, yeah. 77, you can't complain.
You know, you and I still run and you've got a climate that you can train in all the time. I have a climate in California during the summertime. I didn't schedule too many fights. In other words, when they made me fight during the summertime, it was against my will. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I didn't want to do it. I hate training in the heat, so I haven't been training in the heat and it's cooling off now, so I'm back to running. How's the hottest it gets in the UK? What's the hottest it gets?
Well, you can get real warm weather sometimes. Generally. Generally, you're looking at about 70, 80 degrees is an average, midsummer temperature. You know, it can get up to 90. I mean, the gym where I train at, because it's got a tarpaulin roof on, when it's warm outside, it can get to like 100 degrees inside the gym. And I love the heat. I love to train in the heat, me.
No. I'm down with heating up the gym. I'm not down with running in the heat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like I hated it. And that's why I would get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I remember training in Vegas one time and Johnny Taco telling me, well, son, if you want to beat the heat, you got to get up and run at 4:30. I told him, you must be out of your mind. And he was right.
Yeah.
He was right. Anyway, let's just switch gears. Let's talk about Anthony Joshua, of course, the UK cat, 2012 Olympic gold medalist. You and I, you've talked about this in the past. He was never a full dozen eggs, was he?
Well, I've been telling everyone for years and years, I like Anthony Joshua. I've met him on many occasions. He's a nice guy, but the nuts and bolts of it is he's a poor man's Frank Bruno. And that's it. I've been saying it for a long time. There's just no one around. There's no one, Deontay Wilder will knock him out. Tyson Fury will play with him. And Usyk. I didn't think it was an exciting fight at all. And, there was two key moments in the fight, the last round, and I think it was the fourth or fifth, where Usyk stunned Joshua. Joshua knows that he doesn't have the greatest chin in the world, and he's business his way through the heavyweight title.
But it was beautiful. It was boxing 101. I mean, it just was. Feints, jabs, feints.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, footwork, the whole foot feints, the whole nine yards. He put it all together. He had Joshua. He schooled him.
Oh, without a doubt. And like you say, I love the head movement. The head movement is something you don't see in any weight division now like that, But, when I was watching that fight, I was watching the head movement. Joshua just didn't have a clue how to deal with it. I was imagining Joe Frazier, Jerry Quarry in front of him. Oh, my God, he would have got butchered.
Yeah, he would have got butchered. And Larry Merchant was on just a couple of minutes ago. We were talking about manufactured fighters. What I mean by manufactured fighters is that guys that could have come into the game late. In other words, like Deontay Wilder, 2008 Olympic bronze medalist, came into boxing in his teens. Joshua came into boxing in their teens. They don't have the pedigree. They didn't grow up with boxing in their blood. And there's something... There's something, and it creates a shortcoming in these guys, and when they reach the pinnacle, they fail.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt.
So
Joshua at 240, he could have lost another 10 or 15 pounds and been a bit sharper as well.
And what's the thing with him going through metamorphosis each time he fights? These different bodies each time. I mean, I'm not trying to say the guy's taking Flintstone vitamins or steroids or nothing like that, but every fight he's got a different body. I mean, is he not happy with himself?
I don't know. I think he looks in the mirror and thinks that's what it's all about, to be honest with you. It's not about physical presence. It's about your tools, what you've got, you know. I mean, Ken Norton and Mike Weaver had Adonis bodies, but they always trained to be as trim as possible because they knew the trimmer they were, the faster they were, and the sharper they were.
Lawrence Okoli fought last night at WBO Cruiserweight title at KO winner in three rounds over Dilan Pravnik. It was 15-1 now with 12 KOs. At Cruiserweight, is he the heir apparent to Usyk?
Yeah. Remember the last time I was on the show, I told you to keep your eye out on him.
Yeah.
He's definitely the business, that guy. He's definitely one to watch.
How often can he squeeze in another fight before the end of the year?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Sure. If I was Eddie Hearn, I'd be looking to make the Usyk rematch before Christmas.
Why do I keep calling this guy Barry Hearn when it's Eddie Hearn? What's up with that?
Yeah, well, it's his father. His father's name is Barry Hearn. His father started Matchroom Boxing, yeah. And then Eddie's taken over the reins from him.
Yeah. Hey, what's Frank Warren doing these days?
Well, he's over in Vegas at the moment with Tyson Fury. Mm-hmm. You know, waiting for the fight in a fortnight's time. Obviously, they had words on. They had a press conference yesterday, and Tyson used some words that can't be repeated over the airwaves in a short message to Wilder. He's got to be in his bonnet that Wilder keeps telling him he's going to kill him this time and do this and do that the other. I hope, you know, Tyson Fury's doing what he needs to do, which I'm told he is,
you know,
to make sure he wins this fight, you know.
You know, Frank Warren has been through some stuff. I mean, Mike Tyson beat him up, and I can't think of the guy that was the IBF champion, his name slips my mind right now.
Terry Marsh that
shot him. I mean,
yeah.
Terry Marsh shot him. When I cornered Terry Marsh on this in London, I cornered him, Kenny, on we're at one of the med fights or something like that. So I cornered him. I took him aside. I said, listen, man, I'm not going to tell anybody. As God is my witness, I won't tell anybody. Did you shoot this dude? Because everybody says you shot this guy. And you're not saying anything like you didn't. And he goes, he winks at me three times. He goes, I didn't shoot anybody.
Yeah. So of course he shot him.
Definitely. Of course he shot him. But Frank Warren got shot by him, and he got beat up by Mike Tyson. Frank Warren's 0-2 against fighters.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's been a few more that we don't know about that have had Frank by the neck before now, you know?
Callum Smith made his debut at 175 with, of course, the guy that lost at 168 to Canelo Alvarez. Now 28-1, 20 KOs. A quick winner by knockout over Len Castillo, came in at 21-4. Is Callum Smith really a 175-pounder, or is he just looking for money?
He's looking for money. He's looking for money. You know, for me, definitely. Definitely. No, not 175. And another, not to change on the show last night, of course, just coming in from work. Ricky Hatton's son, for me, lost a blatant decision last night. Showed so much, so many mistakes and faults and cracks in the armor. He's got to really get back to the dressing room and get his act sorted out, because last night he did not look good at all. And for me, he got beat by a losing fighter. But somehow he got the decision. But, you know, hopefully he can take a long look at his performance and and work on the many faults that I saw.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, a WBC judge went to extremes, I believe from Arizona. I can't remember his name right now. But in the Oscar Valdez fight, I think he had it 117-110 for Valdez over the cat from Brazil. And everybody knows the fight was a lot closer than that. He apologized for that score on Fight News and this thing. Should these judges be held accountable? Should we just not use them anymore? I mean, Kenny, once these guys screw up once, why give them a second opportunity?
I don't understand it. You know, I really don't. You know, it's a very important call. It's a world title fight. You know, these judges, you know, need to get it right. They need to get it right every time. And I can't see how one judge can have massive disparity in scorecards as to another. I mean, you know, one of the classic scorecards of all time for me was when Larry Holmes won the title off Ken Norton. All three judges had 1 point in a 15-round fight. To me, that is professionalism. That tells me that they had no axe to grind with either fighter and they viewed the fight as they saw it and basically ended up in the 15th round. Two judges liked what they saw from Larry in the last 30 seconds and one judge liked what he saw from Norton in the first 2.5 minutes. And that's what you call, you know, real professional scorecarding.
Okay, let me put you on the spot. An anniversary came up of late. Larry Holmes and Michael Spinks, the first one. I was there. I didn't score it. I always thought it was like a lackluster fight on both guys' parts. But was Larry slipping at that point in time? Should Larry have just gotten aggressive, went out there and manhandled Michael Spinks?
Yeah, well, as you know, you're good friends with Larry, and I'm good friends with him too. I wasn't friends with him at that time. But when we were in training camp in 93, I asked him about that fight. And he said, Kenny, I just didn't turn up for the fight. He said, I just thought I was going to walk through him. He was a light heavyweight. If I'd have trained like I should have done for the fight, it would have been an easy fight, but it was my mistake. I still think Larry won the fight. It was a close fight, but I thought Larry won it to make him go 50-0. But the thing is, by his own admission, he just put Spinks down as being someone he was going to walk through, and he just didn't do that. You know, Spinks was a clever, clever fighter, and you know, he messed Larry about a bit and ruined the chance of Larry becoming our equal in Rocky Marciano's record of 49-0.
Okay. You know, speaking of Larry Holmes, when he was the underdog, he came back and he beat Ray Mercer. Ray Mercer, I think, had beaten Tommy Morrison at that point in time. But here Larry was. I was at the fight. Here Larry was. He was looking around. His contact lens fell out. And he was looking for his contact. Did you remember that? Do you remember seeing that?
Oh, what a performance. What a performance. And, you know, again, you know, Larry came along after Ali, and then he was followed by Mike Tyson. Let me tell you, Pedro, if Larry would have got one or two tune-up fights, you would not have seen what happened to Larry the night he fought Mike Tyson. Never.
Well, let's be honest. You know, that Mike Tyson was young, and Larry Holmes was 38 years old at that point in time. And, you know, I mean, you know, age, listen, nobody beats Father Time. I mean, Evander Holyfield proved that a couple of weeks ago. You got any advice for Evander Holyfield, Kenny? I think you know Holyfield a little bit. You got any advice for him?
He needs to retire, man. I can't knock any fighter for taking. I mean, I don't know what the numbers. I'm hearing different numbers what he earns. Someone told me $1 million. Someone told me $4 million, $5 million. I don't know. But I can't knock a fighter for earning a living. You know, and he wasn't going to get seriously hurt by that guy anyway. He just got me to look a fool, which he isn't. He's a great, great fighter and should be remembered that way. But my advice would be, unless you have to do it, Evander, just stay away from boxing.
Straight up. Next week, when we talk, I want to get you on next weekend. We'll talk about Evander Holyfield and the fact that he used steroids. Does that take away from any of his greatness? Kenny Rainford, you are the greatest, sir. As far as being a father is concerned, kiss your daughter. You're a great super dad. People don't know what a great dad you are, man, but congratulations to you as being a father and, of course, a great gentleman. Thank you, Sir Kenny Rainford.
No problem, anytime.
Mr. Kenny Rainford, that's right, one of my knighted guys from the UK. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Many times I just yearn
for the girl. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. Again.